Hang on a second. My microphone just went tits up.
Oh, dear.
This is when you have the little rainbow screen. He goes, "We are experiencing technical difficulties. We will be right back."
Oh, that's where it goes. Hi. That may or may not have to make it on the show, but Jesus Christ, literally, I sat here and I moved like 1 inch and everything became unplugged. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Gen X Stories, a podcast about how the so-called lost generation found itself. We are your hosts, Eve, Courtney, and Chris. It's just three of us, but a different three this time. Lori is off today, so we will try not to break anything. I mean, say anything that we shouldn't. On today's episode, we are going to talk about fun food and drink. What we loved as kids, what kept us going as young adults, at least away from our parents, and even what today's version of these beloved nibbles may be. Pudding pops, anyone? By the way, I am nursing some sort of buggy, which is why I sound like this, so if every once in a while Barry White comes to join us, that's just me. Okay, on with the show. Hi, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who don't know, we do record this in the mornings on a Sunday. Courtney, we didn't have you in first at two episodes of this season, but we have you now.
I'm so excited. I miss you guys terribly, and I've had a chance to listen to the episodes, and they're awesome, and they made me laugh. And if you haven't listened to them yet, people, go listen now, because they're great.
Well, we still can't get the four of us, but one day, I promise you we will. But now, we got approval from Lori to do this topic. We're talking about fun food. Did two food episodes before. Just so you guys know, we did this episode in season two about family eating, where we learned, I think, you don't like spinach or kale, Chris.
Well, a caveat to that, I don't like cream spinach because it's disgusting. Okay. And kale is just rabbit food.
Kale used to just be the decorative lettuce at Pizza Hut at their big buffet, people.
That is correct.
And then we did one in season three where we talked about cooking, where we learned that Courtney not only loved peanut butter and jelly as a kid, but it was like you have peanut butter and jelly, and somebody was like, peanut butter and jam.
Sorry, so, that's a terrible British accent.
We went ahead and we asked our Facebook group about a lot of topics, and this one popped up: fun foods, fun drink. So I guess the question first for you guys is, what did you eat as a kid? Like snacky, eat or drink as a kid? Do you have one? Chris is laughing.
Chris
what
is already Chris's? Laughing. Chris is already laughing.
Oh, well, what's Chris's?
No, I mean, I come from a family with two other brothers and a sister. So it wasn't what was your favorite. It was what's there. So whatever was left over is what you ate. Because my mother was always trying to sort of stay ahead of all of this stuff. In elementary school, we walked to school. So we would walk home for lunch.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think we ever knew that. I don't think we knew that you came home for lunch and went back to school. That's kind of cool.
It was
very
just,
French
know,
of you.
Yeah, well, it would be two blocks away. So it was just, that's what you did. Mom would just send you along. You come home for lunch and you go back to school. And I think she always tried to stay ahead of having a little bit of treats here and there for the kids. But the way that it worked in our house, because we were like badgers, is anytime there was something that was tasty that came into the house, it would disappear within 24 hours. So then it was like, you'd open the cupboard and it's like, well, there's bread. And that was about it. So God bless her. It was a losing battle, an uphill Sisyphean endeavor. It was a very short period of time that tasty snacks were left in the house. The sort of localized kind of Chicago area things. There is a place called Maurice Lernell, which was a cookie factory. And there was also Hostess kind of things. But I mean, I swear to God, those would disappear like in a second. On the Sundays when we would be sort of put into uncomfortable, ill-fitting 70s clothes and dragged to church, we would usually stop and get some Danish, which is also something that is very ubiquitous to the Chicagoland area. So, and those would disappear usually by noon.
But no brand name of the Danish, just like Danish.
It was like your local kind of Danish. Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much it.
Court looks like she wants to say what she ate. What did you eat?
Well, this was the weird thing. So like Hostess is what we kind of grew up, right?
Yeah.
Twinkie, I don't know what it was. Twinkie.
Right?
Twinkie.
And so Hostess has a whole bunch of items. What's funny is that most of those items are still available. Mm-hmm. Brand longevity of these items is insane.
Not to mention, it just got sold.
Oh, did? Wait, who?
Yeah, Hostess got sold to Smuckers.
Oh, wow.
Maybe they're going to put real jam into the stuff?
Back to your peanut butter and jam. That is so true. I mean, what we ate as a kid, we can still eat in our 50s.
Oh, well, we can eat whatever that we want at this point. It's like right. We pay the goddamn bills. So
you're the one who leaves the snacks out for your youngins.
In my family, we didn't buy a lot of those treats. So there were some friends in your friend group, like yep. kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and you knew that their parents had a stockpile. And yep. so a couple of options would happen. Number one, this was the day, ladies and gentlemen, as many of you know, our listeners know, like when you got home from school, you did whatever you had to do, chores, whatever. And then you were kicked out till the streetlights came home. So you were outside playing with your friends. And sometimes you'd have a snack, sometimes not. But if little Jimmy, whose parents had a pantry filled with Hostess treats, was on point, everyone would go to Jimmy's house and grab a snack and either play in his backyard or go out in the street or okay. whatever. Or Jimmy would grab a box and bring it out and everyone would have one. Jimmy just, you know, as an example.
I like Jimmy.
But it's the idea. Yeah. That's the idea, right? So like someone in your friend group had a parent who consistently bought the Hostess treats, and they were like the gold standard star of okay. friends. It was amazing. And like sometimes when you brought your lunch to school, right? You'd have your sandwich and an apple and something, like whatever. But somebody always had like the best treat, the best desserts, the best snacks. And so you try to trade, or you give them a little of your pocket money or something.
Right. Because no one's going to trade an apple for a Twinkie.
No.
Unless they're dumb.
One of the snacks that we did get, I don't know why my parents thought this was okay, but it's a little snack pack, and I think it still exists today, where on one side was a little square and it's filled with like spreadable cheese.
Yes.
And then you had four of these golden colored buttery crisp crackers. Yep. Oh, right. So good. And
the plastic thing to spread.
Yeah, and the plastic little red rectangular plastic spreader.
Yep.
It was my favorite snack of all time because it was like, and you get to play with your food. It tasted great. You can do it in a lot of different combinations. That was one of my favorite. I don't know what it's called, but it's one of my favorites.
For some reason, I remember getting some of those things, but I think it was very similar to what you said, Courtney. I don't think I had it in my house. My mom would not do that shit. And I desperately wanted a Twinkie.
Like, I wanted a Twinkie.
A ding dong. Remember ding dongs?
Oh yeah. Ding dongs and ho-hos.
Ho-hos. Oh my God. I don't think I actually got a ho-ho until I was in my teens and someone provided one because mom was a health food person and dad didn't buy the snacks. Mom bought the snacks.
It was called a handy snack.
There it is.
H-A-N-D-I dash snack.
That's
handy
it.
Handy snack. I'm looking at the picture now and I'm salivating. I'm sorry. I'm like, oh my God, I want one right now.
They were like club crackers, right? Because they were buttery.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you are listening to this, go out right now or go on Amazon and buy some handy snacks because you will love it.
They were kind of the original Lunchables, but let's all be clear that the cheese was, it would be very, very hard to actually categorize it as cheese.
Hence, it's a handy snack.
It was sort of whipped. Yeah, it was whipped oil with cheese flavoring, basically.
Yeah, but you're talking to a Philly girl who eats cheesesteaks, which has to be processed cheese.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
But can I just say, like, we were the generation that had the introduction of the all-time best flavor of Doritos ever. What is it, people?
Cool Ranch.
Yo-ho!
Mm-hmm.
That's on so many lists. Cool Ranch Doritos. Do they still make those?
Yes. Oh, my God.
They do. And there's a million flavors of Doritos. But Cool Ranch, for some reason, I couldn't get those either.
I remember it came out. It was so exciting. So we used to, like, have taco salad night.
Oh.
So if it was taco salad night dinner, I would make the dinner. Because I just had to brown the meat, use taco seasoning, blah, 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 put it all together, right? And my favorite part was crushing up, because they used to have these, taco-flavored Doritos.
That's correct.
And you crunch those on top and mix it in for the taco salad for the crunch. Then when we got Cool Ranch, you would do half taco, half Cool Ranch on the taco salad.
Oh, there you go.
So great. Oh, God, I'm missing these meals. I'm hungry.
I was going to say, exactly. You're going to eat some shit today. That's what's going to happen. Just drinking Fiji water just to sort of balance it out. There are other things that I saw on my list. California raisins popped up.
Oh, with the little, like, aren't they the dancing dudes?
Yeah.
Heard it through the grapevine. That's right. Heard it through the grapevine.
But you get the little boxes, and maybe instead of your apple at lunch, you'd get a little thing of raisins because they were quote unquote healthy.
Oh, remember yogurt covered raisins?
There were those.
Good.
One of the websites said fruit gushers.
That sounds after my time.
I remember the gum you bit into.
Yeah, that's
and
maybe
it would
later.
Gush some fluid, and then you would chew it as regular gum.
Yeah. Chris doesn't remember them. His mom wouldn't give him those.
Well, Chris is not going to get a squishy, squirty gun. He's going to have Major League or one of those like things that like,
Major League.
With, like, tobacco. Right.
Yeah.
Put in your mouth.
I have it on the list. It's called Big League Chew. Do you remember
Big
that?
Big League Chew. That's it.
Yeah.
Remember, all the guys had that.
That's right. Did you have that, Chris? Big League Chew?
Yeah. When we play baseball, you do it. It's so the 8-year-olds could emulate, you know, Major League Baseball players chewing tobacco.
Tobacco. Other things that came up, you guys mentioned Lunchables.
When did they begin?
Probably late 80s, early 90s. But there's a meme that's going around that it's the millennials who are claiming it, but that the generation that ate Lunchables are the ones who discovered charcuterie boards because they're grown up.
Bullshit.
Charcuterie boards.
Yeah, I'm it's a big no on that one.
Big fat no on that one, buddies.
Right? It wasn't the same. It wasn't the same quality because we had the same sort of like fluorescent cheese that was just in strips in the Lunchable. Okay, so pudding, Jell-O Pudding Pops. And we don't like to talk about Jell-O because of who the spokesperson was, but did you have
Jell-O?
Oh, right. Did you have those? The Jell-O Pudding Pops?
Yeah. I had a couple.
I don't know. I don't remember.
We didn't
those.
Stock them in.
Chris didn't. You didn't have Jell-O pudding.
Not that I'm aware of. No. No.
Jesus.
It's just frozen pudding.
Right.
Yep.
On a stick.
So you chew it. You chew it.
And then I found was Hunt's Snack Packs, which was pudding. Oh, that's pudding.
Yeah, but they're not calling it pudding.
I think any of these things, none of it's real food. Imagine.
No, it's not.
That we were given real food, but it was, yeah, it was Hunt's Snack Packs. I remember seeing them in vanilla and chocolate. Again, my mom wouldn't give me any of this. And because I went to a private girls' school, we didn't have a lot of people to go hang out with. There was one or two families that I would go like have dinner with or something, or I'd go home with them and do homework. And they had that pantry, Corp.
Oh, see?
And
magic pantry.
And I was like, what's that? And she would look at me like, that's a ho-ho. I'm like, what's a ho-ho? Wait, like an Amish girl.
We're talking about food. not a dating category.
No, we're not even going there. The things that she ate, I did not have access to. And I learned about it through them. Oh, other things I didn't get. Planters cheese balls, which are now big.
Oh, so- the cheese balls.
Oh, those are good. Yeah.
So good.
And you can still get them. Again, Planters is another one of those brands that has been around for longer than any of us would like to imagine.
Sure. The cheese balls were smart because they came in like a large Pringles container, right?
Yes.
So it had a hard side and you could eat them and you put the lid back on. So you could leave them in the car, nosh a little bit. But there's a delicate balance, as anyone knows, with this kind of food, right? You're eating it and then it's all over your fingers.
Right. I was going to say that there's the Cheetos issue.
So here's the question. Are you guys eaters that clean your fingers as you go, or you wait until the end and then clean off?
End, and you have to lick it. You can't.
As I go.
See, I'm an as I go.
Really?
And there's a big debate about that because like your fingers are now wetter when you go in for the next grab.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you could do the dry wipe too.
It's a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
The jeans.
Oh, shit. The jeans. Did you do that when you were a kid? Like you would eat things that left residue and then you would wipe them on your clothes and then go back?
Of course. Sure
I was a punk kid. So, yeah, I'm a dude. That's what I
mean. So when mom washed her clothes, there was like orange shit on your thighs.
On everybody's stuff. Yes, of course. Yeah.
There are other things here. Toaster strudel and Pop-Tarts. Anyone?
Pop-Tarts. Yeah, definitely were. That was a treat.
So what flavor did you guys get?
Whatever was there.
Did you have a favorite of when you got one?
I don't think you could really differentiate between the flavors. I think it was just sugar and some kind of fruit filling.
And it's the color. It's the red ones or the brown ones or the blue ones.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wait, is this Pop-Tarts or strudels?
Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts. No. Okay, there's a whole thing with Pop-Tarts.
Oh,
right?
Shit. What?
Some are frosted, some are not.
Oh.
That's correct. Yep.
So when you toast the non-frosted one, like if you had an apple or berry flavored one, right? A fruit flavored one. When you toast one of those suckers, you pop them out, you put butter on it.
Oh.
And then you cut it. So you get the right ratio of the outer crunch with the inner filling and then you get a little butter on top.
Did you do that as a kid?
Oh, yeah. But if it was frosted, you had to toast it differently because you didn't want to mess up the frosting while you warmed it up.
It will come as no surprise to you guys.
You never had a Pop-Tart.
I have them as a grown-up because we can buy whatever the fuck we want right now. They're still around. I bought a fucking Pop-Tart and they were delicious.
Yeah, just nothing but sugar and some kind of a fruity thing in the side.
Yeah, missed that. Yeah. But then toaster strudel, what was that? I know people had that. Is that like poor man's Pop-Tart?
I think it sounds very, very knockoff-y to me. It sounds like they might have reverse engineered it or something like that.
And said that it's,
well, it's
something
like a toaster Danish.
Yes. Yes.
And then right. Didn't they have it that the packet was you did the frosting after, like you squirted on the frosting after?
That sounds familiar to
you
me.
You tell me, because I wasn't allowed to have that shit. Speaking of things that you heat up, Hot Pockets?
Oh, yeah.
Came after, that was after my time.
Really? You
I
didn't
mean,
have it?
Yeah. I don't think so. Maybe at the very
I
end.
I remember them.
Yeah.
As a kid, Court, you had a Hot Pocket, like a pepperoni pizza Hot Pocket?
You know what? That's a good question. Like, was that college? That might have been college. I remember the year. I remember Pepper's French bread pizza.
Yes.
And bagel, the ones on the little
bagel bites. Bagel bites. Those, yeah. those were also on the list. And it's unclear what year some of these things are. So was right. French toast pizza when we were kids or when we were out of the house?
I don't remember that as a kid. I think that might've come afterwards.
I think a lot of these things may be, everyone's confusing sort of millennials with Gen X, which isn't surprising because that happens all the fucking time.
Yeah, I know it could be right on the cusp between the two as well. So some of our younger listeners might identify with that. I being probably towards the older part of that.
You didn't get that.
I didn't get that. No. And like I said before, a family of four, it disappears fast.
Did you get fruit roll-ups?
I think my sister did.
Oh, younger. Okay.
Yes.
Slim Jims. But they were there. Slim Jims were there. I know. I don't know
well,
why.
If you're hanging out in truck stops at the time, then yeah.
What, 8-year-old at truck stop?
Coming your way across I-80, then maybe. Yeah. I mean, I think there's some kind of meaty thing.
They still make them. But for some reason, I don't know why, I have this memory of my mother and a Slim Jim, which couldn't be the more processed of anything. But my mother, for some reason, I think, liked Slim Jims and would occasionally let me eat one.
Oh, wow.
Right. I'm sure I'm still growing something inside of me because of that. I actually just saw a TikTok, because of course, that's what I do, where there's an American woman and she's married to an Italian guy and she has him try all these foods. And one of the things she had him try was a Slim Jim, and he smells it and he goes, no way. Amore, no.
Yeah. They have Parma ham.
Right?
Here is ultra processed, God knows what, put into thinking, given smoke flavor and salt.
Other thing I had on my list was microwave popcorn seems to have come of age during that too. Did we have that as kids?
We did, yes.
But okay. Oh my God, that was so good.
My mom, and then the evenings where maybe there was the movie of the week playing or whatever, yes. She had a designated pot for popcorn.
Yes.
And she would actually, you know, pour in the oil and make the popcorn. And that was a delicious treat. But, and I say this with all due respect, but my mom was very heavy on the salt.
Oh.
It was a little salty.
Not heavy on the
so
butter,
but bang it, you know, as much of the salt off of it as you can before you got in there.
What did she do when the air popper came out? Because you remember that thing that was the air popper that had like the yellow spout kind of thing? I think that came up when I was living at home. So I think it might have been in the 80s. And it was like, amazing.
Right. No, we didn't. We did it old school.
Then there's the one that you put on it's like a little thing that looks like almost a skillet. And you put it over the burner.
And it has the inflatable tinfoil.
You guys can't see it, but Courtney and I are both doing the hands.
Unseen hand gestures.
Maybe. Yeah, that was good stuff.
So I remember when we got our first microwave and we did some sort of popcorn in it before they made the popcorn bag. So this is when we were in elementary school. We had a microwave.
Did you blow it up?
And my parents heard that you could put popcorn kernels in a brown paper bag.
Oh dear.
Fold it up and put it in and it would cook. That was one of the like selling points of the microwave. Well, my mom didn't have a school size lunch paper bag.
Oh.
She had one from the supermarket. And so she put in a lot of popcorn and it caught on fire.
Oh yeah.
The entire microwave melted down.
No.
That's awesome.
Because we're in the other room, we can hear some popping. It smells good. And all of a sudden we're like, that smells good. We run into the flames coming out of it. It was sick.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Not only did you blow up your microwave, you did it with popcorn.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
They also, I think this is starting in the 70s, they started sort of
putting
designing
safety warnings on.
Yes. Well, also the microwaves were like the size of like a minivan back then. But they started coming out with these sort of overly specific things that you could buy for your kitchen. If you remember that, like we didn't, when I was a small kid, they didn't have these kinds of things. But then as you were saying, they had like the stovetop thing with the thing that you turned. They also had, as I remember, because a friend had one of these, is they had a popcorn corn popper that had a little motor with two, like three wands in the bottom, and it was yellow. I think it was like called like stir something.
Oh God.
And you put the oil in and put the kernels in, and it was basically a stovetop, but it itself spun.
Oh my God.
The things wouldn't burn, I guess. And it was one of those things like, great idea. We're going to use it all the time. And then it just never takes up cabinet space.
Did your mom buy that in like a 11:30 p.m. infomercial?
No, they didn't have infomercials back then. It was like, you know, you just sort of go, oh yeah, that's cool. And then it sits and just takes up space.
Did it have the little thing at the top where you put butter in so it yes. would melt while the, yep. yeah, okay. I remember this. Yep. I remember this.
Yeah.
And that, but that doesn't solve the salt issue.
No.
Well, it kept you hydrated.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because you got four really thirsty children after a movie.
we all look like pasty raisins.
Well, then we have, you know, the raisin song. So that works.
Exactly.
There are other couple things that are on here. There is Sara Lee All Butter Pound Cake.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Okay. Oh my God. Whoa. That was a bigger reaction than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
What are your memories of that?
Well, I think that it actually had a greater sort of mass density than lead. It was not a pound. It was about 43 pounds in a 8x4x4 package. I mean, I'm sure it was nothing but fat. It was just sugar and fat.
Of the cake.
Yeah. And then you get some strawberries because in the Midwest, we would pick fruit and then you'd make stuff and put it in the downstairs freezer.
Downstairs. Yeah. So Midwest.
Right.
Yeah.
You pick up all,
in the basement freezer. And so you put like strawberries over the pound cake and it was delicious and it was nothing but sugar and fat.
I do remember eating some at that age. It was like it didn't crumb because it was so dense.
Right?
Yeah.
It was so oily.
It was sticky on your fingers. Yeah. I remember that.
It was almost cured concrete is basically the density of it.
Okay, but let's talk about the flavor. The flavor was amazing.
Buttery.
It was like vanilla and butter, wasn't it?
Yeah, vanilla and butter flavoring. But like what was so great is like, okay, again, I was obviously a master of the toaster. So like you get a slice, you get just the right thickness, not too thick to go in the toaster, not too thin so it falls apart.
You stick that puppy, start on fire.
You stick that pepper in the toaster, right?
Yeah.
And it pops up. You put a little bit of butter, a little bit of jelly, eat that sucker up. Oh, so good.
That sounds good.
And then my mom used to use, so we lived in England for a time, and she would use the Sara Lee pound cake when we got back to cut up in little cubes, and she put it in these big, like, wine glasses, the kind that are big, like, for red wine. And she put a little bit of that, and then she put some pudding on top of it, and then some fresh cut fruit, and a little bit of whipped cream, and boop, you had a trifle. She probably also like drizzled it with some liquor of some sort, which is
never a bad thing.
And
okay.
She did that for dessert.
See, that's a good memory. The other baked goods that I remember that are still around now is Entenmann's anything.
Oh, yeah. Delicious. They had sort of your regular coffee cake.
Yes.
You know, which was like you had your raspberry or whatever. And then they also made these donuts.
Yes.
They were chocolate and they were chocolate all the way through. And then they had these little sort of eraser sized nubs that were all over the top of it that were also chocolate. So they're like little parts of the donut, but they put these things on it, and then they put powdered sugar on it. And your heart rate was going to increase by about 400%. And it was fucking fantastic.
And the kids, if they're not overly salted by that point, they're bouncing off the walls. Do you remember, this is when we were older, TCBY yogurt?
Yes.
It was in the 90s kind of thing.
And TCBY stood for...
The country's best something yogurt.
TCBY, the country's best yogurt.
TCBY.
Well, Elvis would say that was taking care of business. He had a belt on it.
Oh, what they did.
I want to just bring up the fact that like there was a huge introduction of Diet Coke.
I was going to talk about moving into liquids. Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
There was really Diet Coke. That. Remember, there was Diet Coke and there was Tab.
Yeah, Tab was around for a long time in the 70s and tastes like crap.
Tastes like crap. But so Diet Coke was the replacement for you for Tab, or did you never drink Tab?
Oh, I never drank Tab because it tastes like crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was about 16 when Diet Coke came out.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I remember had that huge launch. I think they, I don't know, I felt like they announced it on the Oscars or something. They had dancers and commercials. And
yeah, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. But wait, but Chris, you mentioned not liking Tab. Did you drink Tab?
Oh, God, no. It was terrible.
Okay, but you tasted it. Like, why? How did you end up tasting Tab?
Because I'm sure it was like at somebody's house and you're like, well, I'll have a soda. And then you're like, good Christ, this is like, you know, some fizzy water with like an old Crayola brown crayon dissolved into it. It was just dreadful.
And fake lemon, right? It had lemon in it.
There was like a citrus taste to it, but it all tasted.
It had just horrible artificial sweetener at the time. Yep.
So did Diet Coke.
No, Diet Coke had a different, newfangled artificial sweetener. that made it taste less awful, even though it was terrible for you.
But here's the thing, because I remember the lunch and I remember I drank it and I was so fucking let down because it's, it's, well, because I expected it. I'm still of that mind that I marketers will get me. Diet Coke is supposed to taste like real Coke, but diet.
It didn't.
And it didn't because it's like, what the fuck is this shit? It's not Coke.
I remember the great irony. There was a fast food joint walkable in my town. And the big deal was like, you would go get a large fry to share amongst the friends.
Of course.
And you'd all get Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi or whatever is that thing. So you get a diet drink and then these greasy fries. Right. Like, it was hilarious.
Yeah. Still is. I mean, people will go and they'll get like a Big Mac with a Diet Coke.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as
it's
fountain. People think that fountain drinks are better, which it's probably true.
Okay, let's be clear. McDonald's used stainless steel container, so the syrup contained are stabilized. So it tastes the same everywhere you go.
See, she knows.
That is their entire MO, that a cheeseburger should taste the same in Tokyo as it does in Missouri.
And from 1984 to 2023, it should taste the same.
Yep.
Yeah, that's A, impressive, and B, really scary. The other thing, the drinks of that time, I don't know why my mom let me drink this one, because I think it's because what the astronauts drank. I drank Tang.
Yeah, had a little bit of Tang at some point.
Did you drink Tang? Okay.
Yeah, Tang. And remember Crystal Light? Country Time? Remember Country Time?
Oh, yep. Country Time lemonade.
Oh, I love Country Time.
All powdered.
Was a powdered lemonade drink that came in like a smaller canister than the cheese puff.
Yep.
And it had a little
with scoop.
Yeah, right.
I think they had a scoop for Tang too, but Tang was sort of long and cylindrical.
Yeah.
And so it had a green label with like orange something on it because it's supposed to be orange flavored. And it was supposed to be what the astronauts drank, but
it's like Sunny D today, right?
Well, didn't the kids behind us have Sunny D?
We had Capri Sun.
Capri Sun.
Dab the straw into the Capri Sun.
I don't. No,
you didn't have Capri Sun?
No, it's right past where at my age. Yeah.
I remember Capri Sun. It was like fruit punch in a softy bag. Right.
And then you get your aggressions out with the straw.
Yeah. But that then sometimes bend. The straw would break. And so you'd be like, how do I drink that? Chris, what did you like to drink?
Well, we had the in the downstairs freezer, in the basement freezer, sometimes you had the lemonade that came in the little cans. Also frozen. It was like frozen concentrated lemonade as well.
That was the best. The Minute Maid concentrate. Is that it?
And then they had the orange juice kind of stuff. And then we had, of course, the Kool-Aid, which was, you know, just nothing but
sugar,
artificial flavoring and sugar. And then there's a regional variations of those things called Weiler's.
Oh, heard of Weiler's. I think.
Yeah. But again, like it's like once it was gone, it was gone. Yeah.
<It's> like, water for you in the gulag.
Nothing to drink. Have some milk or water.
Drink out of the hose if you're thirsty. But you mentioned Kool-Aid.
Yep.
There were two other. There was High C.
Oh, that was in a can. And you actually used the, what do they call it?
The pounder thing.
The key.
The key. And you had to do both sides because it had to have the air coming through. Yep. Which, and then there was Hawaiian Punch.
Mm-hmm.
Was that your age, Chris, or was it beyond you?
I remember Hawaiian Punch. Okay. I remember the commercials.
Right, with the guy coming through the wall?
No, that was Kool-Aid.
Oh.
And then Hawaiian Punch was the guy who would walk down the street and how'd you like a nice Hawaiian Punch? And then he, you know, it was sort of advocating sort of just mindless violence.
I forgot about that.
Oh, my God. That's right.
He'd deck you, right? You have to have a nice Hawaiian Punch and he'd deck you.
Yeah.
Things we couldn't get away with these days. And because after therapy, I go and get McDonald's French fries. They have High C in their drink thing. They have Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite or whatever. They have Mountain Dew, which... But they have fucking High C. I didn't think that they still made that.
They still have High C today?
They do. Every Tuesday.
Are you sure it's not from 1987 and it's just still in that little...
It could be.
Skeptical? I mean, really.
It could be, but it's there. And because I had to push it once and it's bright red.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's High C.
But
that's crazy.
Wasn't there sort of, I mean, first of all, what within the name, were they trying to basically use
vitamin
sugar
C?
Water and put just vitamin C in it? I mean,
I don't know.
I don't remember that. You know, I mean, because it none of this stuff was good for you.
None of it. I guess the C in it was meant to be sort of deceptive with marketing. It's like, hey, look, you can get your powdered sugar-filled vitamin C if you drink this shit.
Did you guys ever have Jolt?
Yes.
Oh, awful. Yeah. That was terrible.
That was our generation, right?
It was our generation.
Red Bull.
Older.
Red Bull.
It was older. We were in college by that.
Yeah, that's right. We were in college.
I'm actually going to take Lori's place for a second. Came out in 1985.
Ooh.
And their slogan was all the sugar and twice the caffeine.
Right. Right. Yeah. For some reason, I believed it was later, but I was still in high school in 85. Yeah.
I just started college.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Joel, you're muted, Court. Nope.
I keep clicking the wrong button.
she's going off on video.
Hey, all of this talk about beverages. I've had a pot of coffee and I got to go pee.
Go pee.
Go.
I'm 56. We'll I'll be right back.
We will pause while he goes. We got to leave that in. At our age, we can't drink a lot of stuff without taking a pit stop.
That's hilarious.
So we have that. We have my microphone going sideways.
Yeah.
I would say that it's Mercury retrograde, even though it's not. But Lori would kick my ass.
Hey, don't say it in front of her. She'll be upset with you, big guy.
He's back.
I'm back.
So once you left the house and you could more or less get what you wanted, I mean, there's a money issue.
Right.
What you eat in college vary from what you had as a kid. He's laughing.
I don't know what I ate for like 8 years. I mean, I know there's a lot of pasta. No, I don't. I mean, I know that I ate in the dorms the first 2 years. After that, it's just like, I remember starting the school year in college, like the third year when we moved out of the dorms, like going to the grocery store and going, this is going to last, oh my God, at least 2 months. 9 days later,
it's all gone. Right. But did you buy your own ho-ho?
There was, sadly, a chain of gas stations, convenience stores called Kerr McGee in the middle of Illinois. And it was on the way to the theater where I had an office. So you could get a giant Kerr McGee. You would buy the cup and you could get a giant Diet Coke.
Oh God.
I think for about 50 cents a refill.
Say, cheap.
And they had these things called Little Debbies, which were just dreadful.
Yes.
But you could get one of those for a quarter. So I think for a period of time, it was like just that.
And you lived on Diet Coke and Little Debbies?
Little Debbies. And then there was a place called Avanti's where you could get like a bucket of spaghetti for like $3. So I don't know what I ate, honestly, for 8 years. I mean, I'm sure I had like the rickets and I was anemic and everything else, you know, and that scurvy. I honestly don't
know.
You
did not have scurvy.
No, I don't know what I ate for 8 years.
You blocked it out. I have a feeling you blocked it out.
No, it's not even that I blocked it out. I'm like, what did I survive on? There should have been calories coming in other than beer.
Other than beer. Yeah. You lived on beer and Diet Coke.
Well, yeah. And beer, as I mentioned before, it's like where I went to school, beer was cheaper than a 6-pack of soda.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't good beer, but it was cheaper. So.
Yeah. Well, so are we talking about college or post-college?
Let's talk college. Like when you left your parents' house and suddenly it's freedom. Like if you had snacks or bad food.
Yeah, but I remember the dining hall for like the first semester, first year. Yeah. And then you didn't have the dining hall because it was so expensive. And then you had to figure out how you're going to get groceries or something because we didn't have delivery back then, people. We had to actually get in our cars or walk or go to the grocery store and get everything back.
And walk it upstairs onto a fourth, fifth floor walk-up.
Oh, God, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So I didn't do this, but in the dining hall freshman year, some of the guys, especially I think the sports guys, would take, you know, they had those big plastic drink cups, right? Because they could wash them. They were kind of plastic. They would go in and they would fill one with jelly, one with peanut butter, and take a whole loaf of sliced bread.
Right.
And like pick up whatever fruit was available. And then they would do the same thing for like cereal. And then they'd fill up a thing of milk and they'd take it all and go back to their room.
Yeah. That's clever.
Okay.
I mean,
that's smart. The only thing that I remember from dining halls, again, Courtney, you and I went to school in Philadelphia. You get your tray and you get all the stuff. But at the very end, they had like all the condiments and there was a vat of Cheese Whiz because it's Philadelphia and you could put Cheese Whiz on everything.
Again, you.
And I did. I mean, freshman 15 was probably all Cheese Whiz.
That's hilarious.
One of the things, I don't remember when you guys moved into the dorms or whatever, but they gave you these sort of things you might want to bring to the dorms. You could either rent the dorm fridge for, I think it was $25 for the entire year to put all of the food that you thought you would be able to keep. They also suggested the $12 hot pot.
Yes, the hot pot
for ramen, right? Or you boil the water for a cup of noodles.
Exactly. And that was sort of it. Our dining halls were closed on Sunday evenings. So
you had to eat.
You were kind of like, there was a little pizza place across the way. You could buy a slice for $2 and it was good. And then there was a place called Avanti's that would deliver. I mean, basically people lived on pizza on Sunday yeah. nights. And then if you were really scraping the bottom of the barrel, it was the Domino's, but you could get two pizzas and this like jug of whatever. It was basically a liter
of something.
Soda. And I think it was like $5
for the two. Oh, right, right, right.
And all they did was just like,
deal.
Yeah, they would just bring, I mean, it was just this constant influx of pizza going. And I mentioned this before, I lived in this dormitory that had 2,200 people and it was two towers that were 28 stories tall. And it was nonstop. Pizza coming in. Yeah.
One of the things that we did, and it was new at the time.
Uh-oh.
Cinnabon. So Cinnabon is a cinnamon bun.
You guys are
retailer.
We're bougie. And we're very bougie.
You are.
Hey, it was around the corner from the dorm. So you walk around, that's what you get. But it wasn't expensive back then. What you do is one of the people on our dorm floor would go down and get either like a 12, they'd sell like a 12 or a six pack, and you could get as much extra icing as you wanted. So you didn't have to pay for it. It wasn't extra. They would slather more on and then give you extra tub. And then someone would come up and put it in the common area and cut it up. And you just smell it and everyone get out. Oh,
Sundays.
Anyway, Cinnabon.
God, I'd forgotten about the Cinnabons.
So good back
and
then.
They were so good, but they're so like one Cinnabon is something like 2,000 calories.
Yeah, but you cut them all up and so everyone gets like a decent bite.
We ate.
You go into a diabetic coma like 10 minutes after eating them.
Well, right, because the rest
and
of your food.
You try to write a paper or do something.
Yeah.
That's right. The rest of your food's, it's a cup of soup. And then you have a Cinnabon and you wash it all down with a Diet Coke and you're done.
Yes, I'm saying it's lucky that we didn't all have the rickets, scurvy and iron deficiencies, because who knows what we were eating.
The thing I remember from college was when we went to like the convenience store, we would buy a long thing of cookie dough.
Oh, already made in the tube.
Already made in tube. And you would just fucking eat it.
Oh.
And it's raw. They now make it. You can eat cookie dough. But they don't have eggs in it. But it had raw eggs in it because it's meant to be fucking cooked.
Right.
Eating raw eggs will make you fucking sick. If anyone wants to know, eating raw eggs will make you sick. But you don't know that. You're a stupid college kid. I remember my boyfriend would bring it over because it was like he's the white knight when he brought us the cookie dough. It was the thing. I remember that. I'm sure I ate a ho-ho because I wanted a ho-ho so badly. But again.
A ho-ho and a ding-dong.
And finish it off with a Twinkie and some cookie dough. It was
good. Remember when Entenmann's came out with the zero pound cake, which is essentially just an angel food cake. They had the low fat pound cake, and it was essentially like an angel food cake. In college, we switched from Sara Lee pound cake to the low fat Entenmann's pound cake.
That's very, very healthy. Right, very healthy of you.
Right, so healthy.
No, I was probably throwing up in the bathroom because of the cookie dough. But yeah, so I mean, probably not the finest things we were talking about. The same with Chris. He doesn't remember what he ate. Probably not our finest hour when we went to college to suddenly be free to get our own shit when our parents wouldn't buy us the shit. How we survived it. We did similar stuff.
Because we were all poor.
We were all poor.
Because you're in college.
Yeah, and the money would run out. And you're like, well, can I, it's the 19th and the money that I begged from mom and dad is gone. So what the hell are we going to do?
Whose food can I borrow?
It's going to be the Cheetos with the Cheeto fingers at that point. So then once you could buy, like you're grown up, you're through the scurvy phase, 8 years of the scurvy. We are now in our mid-50s where we can buy anything we want. Do you eat the same things as snacks? Has that changed? Is anything like that bring bad memories from when you were younger? Like, I'm never going to do that again. What do you eat as a snack? Now, eat or
well,
drink.
It's whatever Trader Joe's has dialed up, basically. That's your go-to. It's like they're going to come up with something interesting. I'm going to give it a go.
Okay, that's actually not too bad because they usually have organic. I mean, their frozen stuff has maybe like this a lot of salt.
Yeah, I mean for processed food is probably the least offensive.
Yeah, I went to Trader Joe's for my birthday and it was a birthday treat because I was in my 50s to go to Trader Joe's. Right. That's fucked up. What about you, Court?
I don't have the same snacks at all. They are not in my house. My whole snack thing has changed. Now, my son likes certain snacks. And so we made a decision to not to demonize the snacks. Like there's healthy snacks and then there's like some
Oreos
less healthy snacks,
and then there's right? Oreos.
Like there's an Oreo. Like he likes the soft baked chocolate chip cookies right now. That's his way into. So like, so he'll get one, get one of those and it has to has to last for a certain period of time before we get him another one, right? To try to dole it out. But there's a lot of these like very tasty granola kind of bars, right? There's all different brands.
Kind.
Have like a little bit of kind or whatever. They have a little chocolate or yogurt or something. And they're really nice. We have a lot of those little things. And those are like probably what we snack on the most.
Recently, I'm in that mode where I'm like, I'm a grown-up lady and I can do whatever the fuck I want. And I'm buying the Oreos. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Good. Good.
Bad for me, but I'm buying the fucking Oreos.
But there's a million Oreos now. There's like double stuff, triple stuff, blah, blah, half and half stuff. I mean, I can't even keep up.
And seasonal flavors. I have a friend who, when there's a new terrible seasonal flavor, he'll post it to Facebook because that's, of course, what we use. But it's like, it's coming back. Red velvet Oreos, which I thought would be fucking awesome because I love red velvet. And they're the worst things I've ever put in my mouth.
Because it's supposed to just be devil's food chocolate. I mean...
With red food color.
Yeah.
No, for some reason.
That amount of red food coloring can't be good for you.
They put a flavor in those things and it's like, that's just so wrong. But then again, so was an Oreo because that stuff's all like, if you read the thing, it's so fucking artificial.
Okay, so how did you eat your Oreo? Because this is important.
Like,
did you try to twist it off to maintain the perfection of the interior cream and then you scraped off the cream and then ate the cookies? Or did you do half and half? Or did you dunk in milk? Like, how did you eat them?
I can't remember. I've never been a big milk person, so I'm pretty sure that I wasn't a dunker. I don't think I scraped the cream off. I think I just sort of like did the twist and one side had a little bit of cream and one side had more cream. And then you just end up eating both of them anyhow.
Got it.
Yeah. Now I don't even do that. Now it's like I got a bag of them at the supermarket like last week. And I'm like, I'm just going to, you know,
cookie monster, cookie monster.
But there's a retro to that because Oreos are still fucking there. And we talked about Twinkies are still there and bought by another brand that we grew up with. Like, how do we feel about our childhood being sold?
That's going to happen. Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad it's still going. I'm glad there's still Twinkies that are available. If you had a Twinkie from the 80s, it might still be good.
Yes. Might still be exactly the same.
It's like those things don't go bad.
Wait, why didn't you get a Ho-Ho?
My mom. Well, no, two things. Processed. And I was allergic to chocolate as a kid.
What?
Yeah. Oh.
How did we not know this?
I had an M&M when I was in Montessori and I blew up in hives, Sir Pigeonous hives. And then they went and did all the tests with they do the little things on your skin and on your back and on your arms.
Right.
And chocolate was like, woo, woo, woo.
Oh, dear.
And so from like Montessori until college, I didn't eat chocolate. And my mom is still allergic to chocolate. So when I went to college, I was like, well, I'm going to give this shit a shot. And then I had a Ho-Ho and I'm like, well, this is delicious. And look, I'm okay.
Well, there you go.
So anything that was snacky, that was chocolatey, I couldn't have as a kid. My mom made me have carob instead of chocolate. And it tastes awful because mom would go, you know, oh, it's just like chocolate. Narrator says it was not like chocolate.
Is it that our generation is still buying all this stuff, or have the younger generations coming after us enjoyed them as much? And that's why they're still sustainable. Like, I'm curious because, you know, there was that whole backlash about processed foods, but it hasn't seemed to impact the snack industry.
I think it's a little of both. That's my gut, is that there's something nostalgic because now, I hate to tell you, the snacks of our youth are now nostalgia for the kids you have.
Right.
It's like, oh, wow, look at that. A Ho-Ho.
It's a classic.
It's a classic. And they probably haven't changed the ingredients. So there's that aspect of it. But a lot of the trends that we see, to your point, Gen Z is eating healthier food. And they're more into food. They are more foodies than we grew up with. So I'm not sure if they're eating that, if it's back to us and we're like, well, you know, we're in our 50s and we can buy Oreos any fucking time we want. And we do. And then it's in the house, back to Chris. And suddenly a kid says, well, you know, I'll just try that. I don't know.
That's a good point.
I wish I knew, but I think nostalgia is a big piece of it. I think nostalgia for both Gen X and for Gen Z. We're going to skip millennials because they fucked everything up. But that's...
Oh, God, poor millennials.
Other foods that you eat besides Trader Joe's right now, whether they're nostalgic or not, that you have as a snack? Like, have you moved into, for example, Courtney, fruit? Because you
I eat a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think being in California, you get a lot of fruit.
Well, right.
And I also, you know what? And so here's like another thing. Like, instead of the handy snack, oil-based cheese and cracker, I have really good cheese and crackers.
Correct.
Now. Exactly.
I found some interesting stats. There was an article about market trends analysis and taste quality is important. It says Gen X prioritizes taste more than other generations, which is very strange because grew up with no taste.
Maybe we're longing for it then.
Yeah. They're more likely to focus on health and wellness when eating and are more motivated by brand loyalties compared to millennials, as well as convenience, price, and local sourcing compared to boomers, which is interesting. That's apparently our legacy as Gen X. Do you see that in people our age, or do you see people eating crap still?
I think it's both. That's what I've seen, at least.
So you guys are both parents to teens. What do you buy them to have around the house as snacks?
What they'll eat. That's it. It's like, you know, you want to try this? They'll be like, nah, it's gross. And then like, you're okay. We're going to get the same 10 things. I know you're going to eat that. So
we weren't that picky. We just sort of ate what was there, but the kids are now picky.
I think more so. They've been exposed to more, you know, like we didn't have the exposure to the palates, you know, the food palates that
yeah, they we have didn't now. Have like, you know, pack of dried seaweed to snack on or freeze dried apples and bananas. Like the types of quote healthy food out there is much broader category. I would say that we chop up a lot of fruit and carrots, like carrots and hummus. Here's something he likes now that's new. This thing called Takis.
I was just going to say, because that's actually listed as one of the things that kids eat. Takis.
Okay, that's his new thing.
Tell us what a Taki is.
I don't know. It's bright red and spicy. I think it's like a different kind of Cheeto.
Yeah, I think
it is just
too.
A different kind of Cheeto. But he's all about it right now. And he keeps saying, I'm like, I'm putting that in my body. You can go ahead.
Does your teen eat Takis, Chris?
Nope.
I'm going to look it up. He just got into it. I don't know what they are.
There was another article about the favorite snack foods of Gen Z, and it said, given all the exciting new options out there, I was pleasantly shocked to discover that today's teenagers still gravitate towards the classics, Goldfish, crackers, and Cheez-Its, even though a lot of them are eating Takis.
Goldfish
and Cheez-It.
Sure.
Yeah.
But Takis are up there. So what's a Taki?
So Taki is a rolled tortilla chip with full-on flavor. They are only for the strong, the brave, and the daring. Open a bag and face the intensity. Takis, please sponsor us today.
Yeah.
There's some crazy ass flavors. Nitro, dragon sweet chili, zombie.
Zombie.
Like, I don't even know what this is.
We had cheddar or pretzel.
It's a tortilla chip. It's a flavored tortilla chip. So it's like a different kind of Dorito or something.
Okay. Okay. But apparently there's some retroness because they like Cheez-Its, which we grew up with, and they like Goldfish, which are Goldfish. Very...
Those are delicious.
By the way,
yeah,
the mini snack pack raisins.
The heats that too.
Still do those
because you can't go wrong with those.
I'm opening our snack drawer in my mind, and I'm like, we also have like good chocolate.
Right. I mean, back to good stuff.
Good chocolate.
Yes.
There's an article again. I'll put a link in there saying that it's becoming more okay to instead of eat a regular meal to just snack and have like
tapas.
Right. Have a handful of Takis and a handful of something else and a handful of something else that people are making meals. Some of that is going down on, again, TikTok. Ever hear the reference girl dinner?
No.
Girl dinner. It's a snack that people are now popularizing, saying, well, it's not a full meal, but it's a girl dinner. It's a dinner.
What is it?
Could be a handful of snacks. Could be something weird. You know, what we would eat. You know, we have a handy snack and an apple and we call it a snack or we call it an early dinner. Well, that's what they're eating for dinner now. And they call it girl dinner.
Funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But then Gen Z are more foodie than others because they grew up with Top Chef and they grew up with Master Chef and they grew up with all these cooking shows and food is also more accessible to them. And now we're getting more ethnic foods in. I never had hummus as a kid, I'm going to tell you. And kids are now living off of hummus. How does that fit with the pickiness though? Do you think she'll grow out of the pickiness, Chris?
I think it's just things that are familiar and that are sort of standards. But it expands as you get older.
All right. Well, it sounds like we're going to keep feeding our kids whatever they'll tolerate.
Yes, exactly. What will you eat? That's what we're having.
And if they'll eat it, then maybe they take a picture of it and put it on the gram or on TikTok these days. So we're thinking of everyone out there with their girl dinners, but we're raising you a Diet Coke as we go forward. That is it for us this week. Thank you for listening to Gen X Stories. Drop us a note at hello@genxstories.com and we may do some shout outs on a future episode. And we still have merch. Real cool shit. Find out all about it on our website at genxstories.com. You can also subscribe to Gen X Stories on your favorite podcast app. Write us a kick-ass review because we love those. Follow us on Instagram at Gen X Stories or join our ever-growing Facebook group. We all have a Gen X story. What's yours?